Please, thank you. Get these lights back on. That would be great. Last week, I think it was last week anyway, we looked at the life of Samuel and what was his responsibility. What did he have to do to be fruitful? Listen, there we go. One word is all we talked about last week. Listen, listen, listen. Reformers Unanimous, how many of you remember RU? Okay, there are three things we do at RU. They are? There we go. Somebody remembered that. But Samuel had to listen, listen, listen. And it's funny with the kid, for the adults RU and even the teen program that they run. We didn't ever run that at our church, but there are some churches who run a teen program. They always talk, talk, talk. But for the kids program, they listen, listen, listen and go through those different aspects because they don't want kids to just talk. Because kids talk enough and it's hard to control them. So anyway, Samuel had to listen. Tonight we're, yes, talking about Samuel, but now Samuel gets to talk. And he's talking with a group of people named the Israelites, because that's the people God has called them to. 1 Samuel chapter 7, if you will. How can we be fruitful on Thursday? How can we be fruitful every day, really? But the reality is tomorrow is Thursday and God wants us to be fruitful. It's not always easy. But it's always blessed as we're fruitful. It doesn't mean, as someone mentioned in our letter, I think it was the Heath, the prosperity gospel. You just do right and man, you've just got blessings overflowing. And you do have blessings overflowing. But so many people today think riches and problems will all go away. How many of you attest that as a Christian you have problems? But aren't you thankful we have Christ to carry us through? The difficulty is sometimes we don't draw nigh to Him. But you know, there are times in life when life gets confusing, life seems overwhelming, and we just get so focused on all sorts of things. Think about winter. Okay, what was the first thought that came to your mind? Okay, snow and cold. Snow is the first thought that came to my mind. I am so excited winter is coming, and snow is beautiful, and sure look forward to having that. So, man, some people get distracted by the snow and go to Florida. Some people get distracted, I mean, and so they get sidetracked, right? No, God has different plans for different people. But the reality is sometimes in life we do get sidetracked. We get so focused on one thing, the other things just kind of take a back burner. And sometimes we don't even mean it to happen. There are things in life, whether they are trials, whether they are other difficulties, whether they're just situations that happen in life, and sometimes they even take priority over God. Not that we even mean that, but sometimes, in fact, we even cry out to God at times, but sometimes it really, the situation still takes priority over God. We see that happen with the children of Israel time and time again. Now, sadly, when things took place in priority over God, it wasn't just situations. They had false gods that they often turned to. Whoa, like they worshiped these idols and these false gods and went through all sorts of things. But the reality is they didn't have to. God was always there. But the incredible to think about is, in spite of all of the difficulties and trials they went through, in spite of the ups and the downs through the time period of the judges, remember we looked at the life of Ruth, we looked at some of the judges as well, and during that whole time period, they served God, and then they walked away from God for years and years and years and years and years. And then they would serve God, and they'd walk away from God for years and years and years. It seemed like the downward spiral always lasts longer than the upward momentum. And incredible to think about. God doesn't want that to be in our lives. But here we are, 1 Samuel chapter 7, they've walked away from God, they've had problems, and if you look at the previous few chapters, which we skipped over, you can go back and read those to see what happened between Samuel listening, and here we are tonight. The Philistines got something valuable from the children of Israel. What was it, Lloyd? The Ark of the Covenant. Man, they got it, and we've got a trophy here. They bring it into their false god. They bring it to their god's temple. And what happens the next morning? Their god is on his knees worshiping God. I mean, he has fallen over. And they finally, they get it back to the children of Israel. They bring in golden emeralds with it and golden mice. Now, golden mice, wouldn't that be an incredible thing to get? How many of you hate mice? And man, why would you want a gold mouse? But you think of the religious symbolism that the Philistines had with that. But here we are, chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was... what? Okay, it was long. So we know there was a long period of time here. In fact, specifically, how long? 20 years. Now think about that. 20 years for some of you, you say, well, that was short. 20 years for some of us, we say, that's forever. Right, Jaleesa? That's where we are. Like 20 years, man, that was half my life. I mean, man, and we think about that. And here, this is a long time. But finally, what happens? All the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Here they have 20 years. The ark was returned to Kirjath-Jearim. Now, where was it before? Where was their center of worship? Remember, we've been studying Joshua. So where has been their center of worship? In Joshua, it was Shiloh, right? They finally set up Shiloh as their center of worship. Why here Kirjath-Jearim? Well, that's where they brought it. Now here all of a sudden they're lamenting after the Lord. This word lament means to groan or bewail, to cry out, if you will. Cry out aloud as an assembly of people. So here they're all gathered together and they're lamenting, not sorrowing over or repenting, but they're lamenting, they're crying out, groaning after the Lord. Now remember, some of the reasons they groaned after the Lord during the time period of the judges, what were they? They were under bondage, right? They were in bondage. They were under persecution, and they couldn't get this, and they couldn't do that. Here, man, they just have struggles in life. Sometimes they were brought up on by their own choice of behavior. That's where we're getting into on Sunday as we talk about Joshua and his address to the leaders of the children of Israel. Don't walk away from God. And what happens to the next generation? They walk away from God. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. And here we see they didn't do that. Well, here they're crying out to the Lord. Verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Here's an easy solution. Now, we know that Samuel was a young man who loved God. We look back early on, and he what? He listened to God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so he hears God. He's listening. He listens to the message of God. So he's tender as a boy, having that tender heart like Josiah had Sunday. We talked about that. Here he's tender. As a young man, he's tender. He's going through these years. Do you think Samuel did nothing for these 20 years? Well, I think it was more than 20 years altogether, but we know this time period was 20 years. And we don't hear a thing about Samuel. Was he serving God? Yeah. In fact, I believe there are many ways he's trying to draw the people back to God. Now, all of a sudden, there's this joint cry out, we need help. And Samuel says, God is here. Turn to God. And here's four things. These are not the main points for the night, by the way. But here's four things that Samuel tells him to do in verse 3. He said to return, repent, prepare, and serve, didn't he? He's saying, you can be right with God. He tells him to return. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Repent of these things. So you're turning to the Lord. Remember, we've talked about sanctification. It is not simply being set apart from the world, but being set apart from the world unto who? God. So it's one thing to not smoke or not whatever. It's just whatever sin we choose. It's one thing to not do that. But it's another to be like God. Man, anybody can put off certain sins. Brian Heath. He doesn't want kids just to put off certain sins. He wants them, yes, to get saved. But many people in our world, let's just put these sins off. Wait a second. We want to put them off and put on God. So they are returning to the Lord and repenting of their sins, their false gods that they're worshiping here. Then he says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your heart that it be tender, that you're ready to do what God has. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Do you think Samuel understood what it meant to have a prepared heart? Yeah. And then they had to serve him only, be devoted wholly to God. So he's telling them, if you are going to be fruitful, you need to do some things. And we're breaking it up now as we look at the next few verses into three main things that they can do and that we need to do if we're going to be fruitful on Thursday or Friday or whatever other day of the week we want to be fruitful, which hopefully is all of them that end in a letter Y. Number one, we need to return to the Lord. We need to return to the Lord. We see that going on in verse 4. Then the children of Israel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do what? Oh, I'm reading verse 3. No wonder you didn't follow along very well. Okay, you need to return. Verse 3 says that too. Verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. So here we see they what? Returned to the Lord. And we see the reality of that. They needed to remove the things that come before God. And you and I need to remove the things that come before God in our lives. What are some things that come before God in our life? And it may not be the case in your life. You can say it too, right? But what are some things that we've all had come before God in our lives? I'm sorry? Work. What else? Money. Relationships. Busyness. Man. Children. All sorts of things. Parents. All sorts of things can come before God in our life. Now, how many of us have all of those things in our life right now? Right? I mean, we have different aspects of them. We have so relationships, we have money, we have busyness, and yet we have all of this stuff we need to balance. And if you and I are going to be fruitful, we need to return to the Lord by letting him be the priority over all of that. Return to the Lord. Remove the things that come before God in your life. Not that you can always take those things out of life. We have to have a right perspective. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews says, the author and finisher of our faith. Putting certain things aside. Not just the sin, but the weights which do easily beset us. So return, removing the things that come before God in our life. Return to making God your priority. That's how we need to return to the Lord. Return to making God our priority. They put away the false gods, verse 4 said, and then they did what at the end of verse 4? Serve the Lord what? Only. Whoa. That's pretty incredible. God didn't have to put that word in there, but that's pretty specific of what they did. They didn't simply serve the Lord. They served the Lord only. That's a priority of God. And in the midst of our busyness, you and I must make a priority of God. And if we haven't, guess what? We can start tomorrow. We can start tonight. We can return to the Lord and say, God, would you help me? These things, I've got to have them, but I sure need a proper perspective and balance in my life, and I can't do it. Would you help me to return to the Lord? Number two, we see that you and I need to repent of our sin to the Lord. Repent my sin to the Lord. Verse 4 again, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. Verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Incredible things to think about. They were gathered together. One of the actions, we need to display actions of repentance. When I go to repent of my sin, I need to display actions of repentance. Show the reality of my words. Yes, I repent of sin where? In my what? Heart. It's not really right there, but in my heart. The seat of who I am, my heart, my emotions. But then I display that. Here's what they're doing. They're gathering together. One, I find that they've made a priority to gather together. And you know what? You've made it a priority to gather together. Praise the Lord. You're not coming to church for me. You're not coming to church for anybody else. You're coming for God and me, and what a blessing. You've made a priority to gather together. But as they're repenting, they're displaying these actions of repentance, not simply gathering together. What's the next action we saw there in verse 6? What did they do? What in the world does that have to do with repentance? Drawing water. Well, it's incredible to think about. While the drawing of water was a joyful act, and we could look at different scriptures that shows that and symbolize that, the symbolizing of the winning from the depths below of the source of life and health. What did they do after they drew this exciting water? Because again, remember where they are. They're not in America. They're not by Lake Michigan or in the middle of a bunch of great lakes, and we have great, whether it's hard or not, we have a lot of access to water. They're in the Middle East. Drawing water was precious. It was joyful. What did they then do with that water? To whom? The Lord. This is symbolizing their repentance. Man, this water, as precious as it is, God, you are much more than that. Amen. And that's how you and I have to have in our life. Making that priority. Repenting of our sin. Displaying actions of repentance. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Wow. Draw water and pour it out. Displaying the actions of repentance. Interesting then to see verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. They were afraid. But again, we see they turned to God. But they had already repented. They had taken care of this, and then this battle came. When you want to be fruitful, and man, the Lord has convicted your heart and challenged you, and you have returned to the Lord, you've repented of sin, trials come and want it, because Satan doesn't want to see you please God. God allows those things in our lives at times. These children of Israel, they poured out the water. They turned to God, again, in repentance. One more action I forgot to point out in verse 6. What did they do? They fasted. Again, fasting literally means to cover over the mouth. I'm not going to let anything in there. Different ways people can fast, but man, the seriousness of crying out to God, God, my sin is wicked. I want you. And making a priority of God. And then they directed their speech towards God as well. Again, we, as they're praying to God, the end of verse 6, we have sinned against the Lord. Making it very plain and clear through their speech. And then finally, we need to restore our relationship with the Lord. If I'm going to be fruitful tomorrow, I need to return to the Lord. I need to repent of my sin to the Lord. And I need to restore my relationship with the Lord. Now maybe you say, well, I haven't walked away from God. But we still need to restore, keep that restoration process going. So if you've got an old Model A that's been restored, do you put it outside in Michigan in the winter? Man, we've got there are a couple friends from our church in Muskegon, and he's got a couple. They've got a new Corvette, and I don't know what his old car is. And man, he had it restored. You know what they do with both of those cars? They keep them in the garage. They don't drive them in the winter. They keep them in the restored mode. And if you're here and man, you've got that relationship with God restored, keep it restored. Here's what the children of Israel did. They restored their relationship with the Lord. Verse 7, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and for the Lord heard him. And just again, they restored their relationship with God. They brought their needs to God, their fears. That's what was taking priority, tempting them to take the priority over God here, their fear. What are we going to do? Whatever it is in your life that's tempting you to let that be the priority over God, bring that to God and say, God, I need your help. I really want to be fruitful, and I need you to help me so that area doesn't take priority over you. Bring your needs before God. Watch God work on your behalf. We won't get into this, but verses 10 through 14 show God is working on their behalf. And then I can continue my lifestyle of worship. Verses 15 through 17 talks about how Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Verse 16, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judge Israel in all those places. And so it's incredible to think about that aspect of the continuing lifestyle of worship. The Bible doesn't specifically say what he did during those 20 years before and all the other years. We do again, he was the prophet of God. He was tender to God. He was used of God. But now we finally see some revival. And then we see the restored aspect of worship. And we see that restored relationship. And so we need to continue that lifestyle of worship. For those of you who go south, continue that lifestyle of worship. For those of us who stay up here and enjoy the cold, continue that lifestyle of worship. Jimmy. Amen. That's what I was thinking of there. That's one of those truths to pull out of there. Man, they went to Samuel. Would you cry to God for us? The question is, do I cry to God for me? Father, we thank you for your love. Would you help us to be fruitful? Would you help us as we desire to let you be the priority of our life? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.